You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
This is such a sad and difficult topic, but one that does have sound solutions. Self-destructive behavior, such as inflicting physical pain in order to heal emotional pain. Whether you or someone you love suffer from this, my next guest has some real answers to these real issues. Please welcome to the show author of Letting Go of Self-Destructive Behaviors, a workbook of hope and healing, Lisa Ferenz. First, Lisa, describe to the listeners, you know, as a professional, what does it mean to have destructive behavior?
Sure. It includes anything that you're doing that is going to create both physical and or emotional distress, but is also designed to try to make you feel better. So that includes things like an eating disorder, addiction, any kind of addiction, any kind of act of self-mutilation, cutting the body, hair pulling, burning the body. All of those things, ironically, are designed to try to make the person in the short term feel better, and yet in the long term actually add a sense of shame. And these are behaviors that are often done in secret because they're shame-based.
You know, in my practice, I see a lot of young teenagers, but I find that it's more often than not, it's the girls, the young ladies that inflict these types of self-destructive behaviors. Do you see that? And is that a true statement that I'm making?
I don't know. I'm so glad that you said it, Suzanne, because it's actually not true. But here's what's interesting about it. In our field, we're more likely to make the assumption that these are behaviors that are done more by girls because girls are more likely to land in treatment. They're more likely to show up in a therapist's office. They're more likely to show up in a doctor's office. But what we actually know is that just as many boys and men engage in self-destructive behaviors. So I'm glad you asked the question because that's one of those myths that I like to dispel. Particularly if we've got parents listening who have sons, and they're thinking, well, you know, because I have boys and not girls, probably don't need to think about this or, you know, be concerned about it. But we see it just as much in adolescent boys. They're just sometimes less likely to seek out treatment for it.
Right. I think that the girls, they display this because it is a way, it's part of their healing, I think, because it's a way of sharing people, you know what, I'm doing something that's I'm really in pain. They're in so much pain that they need to do this. Whereas I find that in boys, they have a lot of testosterone. So they kind of have other kinds of destructive behaviors, I think. Is that correct with boys?
Well, sometimes the gender difference that we do see is that girls are more likely to act in their pain and their rage, and boys are more likely to act out their pain and rage. So what you might see in boys is more antisocial behavior. You know, you're less likely to see that in girls. But again, I want to reiterate that there are boys with eating disorders. You know, there are certainly lots of adolescent boys who are cutting their bodies, and certainly lots of adolescent boys who are drinking and getting high and have porn addictions and video game addictions. So again, this is an equal opportunity issue. You know, we see it equally in boys and girls.
Got it. So good to know. So it is definitely non-gender specific,
right?
And we want to make sure that. Well, let me ask you this: as a parent myself, I mean, my son is 20 years old, and he's never had these types of behaviors. But what can a parent do to recognize? Because you're saying it's secrets; they don't show it. What can we see the early signs?
Good question. So although you may not be seeing the cutting, you know, or even the drinking, if they're able to be more secretive about that, it's important to understand that what's underneath those behaviors is often either unresolved trauma or depression or anxiety. So then we start to look for the symptoms that are indicative of those things. So what you're going to see, particularly in teenagers, are things like a decline in academic performance. They become much more socially isolated. They're spending a whole lot more time in their bedrooms with the door locked than they used to do. There's a loss of interest and pleasure in things that they used to do for fun. And something else that I want to mention, Suzanne, that I think is really true. true. And that is when you look on their Facebook pages or their other sources of social media, that's where you're going to see the disclosures of drinking or cutting or the fact that they're feeling depressed or the fact that they're experiencing cyberbullying. So I'm a very big believer, as both as a parent and a therapist, in really trying to empower parents to have access to their kids' social media, you know, pages and Facebook pages, because that's where kids are putting out the real narratives about what's happening in their lives, and that's where you can see who their friends are and what they're doing with their friends. So having access to that is really important. You're also going to see irritability. You may see belligerence. Look, if you've got a kid who's doing an eating disorder, you know, what they're going to do if they're purging, for example, after they finish a meal, they're going to the bathroom, you know, to try to throw up. So there are signs that we can see if we're just looking as parents, and it's really important that we empower parents to know that it's both their right and their responsibility to have a real keen awareness about what's going on in their kids' lives.
I love what you're saying about that keen awareness. I find that, you know, we're so busy these days in this modern world, going from school to after school activities, that parents do not talk to their children. They
you're
don't
exactly
ask
right.
about how their day is. And, you know, having that dinner conversation that we all use, everyone eats at the different times now,
yes.
you know, and I find that, yeah.
I was going to say, I'm sure you're aware there's actually research that shows us that kids who eat dinner with their families with regularity are far less likely to ever become involved with drugs or alcohol. To me, that's reason alone that we want to be encouraging more family mealtime.
That's right. I mean, I know with those mealtimes, that's when you can start asking how your day, and then, you know, did you have any troubles at school? I must tell you that when you talk about trauma, I know that it's not just physical trauma, sexual trauma. Mm-hmm. It's even specific kids being mean to, you know,
exactly.
you. Being mean and saying, I mean, I have young people still hung up on certain things, and even adults, certain things that they were told as a youngster, you're fat or you're so stupid, or you know, just even these words that a lot of us can just kind of let it brush off, but some can't, right?
You are exactly right. And, you know, one of the number one causes of adolescent suicide is cyberbullying.
Yeah.
It's such an insidious thing when kids are, you know, spreading false rumors or just making cruel statements about another child, and it's out in cyberspace. You can't take that back, and it's disseminated immediately to thousands of people, and it's devastating. The wounding, the psychological and emotional wounding that happens through verbal abuse, which is exactly what you just described for the kid who's hearing you're fat or you're stupid or, you know, you're never going to amount to anything, it lasts throughout a lifetime until that gets resolved and addressed in therapy. So those are wounds that cut just as deeply and sometimes are even more lasting than the physical wound.
That's it. You're absolutely right. Letting go of self-destructive behaviors, a workbook of hope and healing. That's for everyone. For a parent to be, even a young person can read it. Oh, gosh. Want to share about your book for the last 30 seconds?
Sure. So this is a workbook that gives people all kinds of other options, teaches them how to self-soothe. It teaches them how to begin to share their traumatic experiences rather than showing those traumas on their bodies. There's journaling, there's drawing, there's guided imagery, there's movement, there's breath work, there's learning how to talk to yourself with more compassion. So we can't expect people to give up their destructive behaviors until they replace them with healthier forms of self-soothing. And that's what this
Thank
book can
you.
Offer them.
Oh, Lisa, you're a wealth of information. Everyone, get the book, Letting Go of Self-Destructive Behaviors, a Workbook of Hope and Healing. Now you can go to my Wellness for Life radio show. Thank you so much. See you next time. Stay well.